Okay, we're going to be in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 through 16. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you, and unto you whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by the law, by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that is calleth you. A little leaven leaveth a whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but be that troubleth you, you shall bear his judgments, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off, which trouble you. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye be bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. I assume we should not look back and dwell and enjoy and wish you had the life you had before you come to know the Lord. And each one of us have been there, that we're born in sin, and so therefore we're only here by the grace of God under this gospel, the gospel of truth about who Christ is, and we love to hear it, and we desire to hear it. But think about when you did not know the Lord. People today don't know the Lord. They walk this earth and they go to these other churches and they got all kinds of ideas of what the gospel is, but they don't know the Lord. They don't know that. Think about when you walk, before you come to know the Lord, you didn't know you didn't know him. Religion had a hold on you. Probably every one of us, either that or some of us didn't want nothing to do with it at all, but like myself, for example, I'll use me as an example. I grew up in Martinsburg, and from the time I was a little kid to, till I was grown, my mom, we walked to church. And when the weather was bad, Mom didn't go, or she didn't feel good, but I went every Sunday. She made sure I went, and we walked. That's how we got there. I didn't know the Lord. I was a little bitty guy then. Grew on a teenager in that church. But we went to what was called the community church. So there was a community church and there was a Catholic church. To this day, I wonder what that preacher preached. That's how much interested I was and how much I understood anything about any of it. Because that's a perfect example also of the gospel of the world and the gospel of grace. That preacher was able to preach to everyone in there. Didn't matter what their congregation, what their desire of religion is. Methodist, Baptist, Christian, go on and on. It did not matter. But he preached preached the message every Sunday. Now, the Catholics were set apart, and everybody knew what they did. But they came to our church, and everybody heard the same message. And they didn't leave. They stayed there. They were members of that church. That was their church. And it was just a general message. Oh, I wish I could remember what he preached. But it had to do with works. Has to have done with works. Because he wasn't preaching the gospel we're preaching here. It was not that. It was all bound up into how good you can be and what wonderful things you could do and help others. And, oh, also attendance buttons. You know, I had two of them. Big old round one And then bars under it. For all the years, I'd never miss one Sunday. Oh, I wanted them bars. That was important. Looked like a general. And that was a wonderful thing. But none of them knew that they didn't know the Lord. And to know the Lord was one of those kind of things where you had you go down front and you tell them that you knew the Lord, and then they'd baptize you on a special day. And just like things today, just like nothing's changed. And then I ended up going to Mexico, Missouri, and to another church, and it had a lot more activities. I kind of liked that, but I never felt like very comfortable with them. And we went to there, and I didn't know they didn't know the Lord. It was a burden upon me because the preacher really laid it on heavy, especially in invitation times. I mean, just as I am went on until somebody got up there. But anyway, it's one of those things that just went on and on. And actually, we came down here. Still didn't know the Lord. I didn't have a clue. Nobody out here knows that they don't have the Lord. Every one of these people that go in these churches, they think they're okay. They're fine. They don't have to search anymore. But the scriptures they interpret the scriptures instead of going by revelation. Christ reveals himself unto you. That's how come we know who he is this very day, because it's by revelation. We didn't figure this out. And, of course, we then eventually was invited to a church, which one thing led to another, and here we are. But I did know the Lord. Did not. That's the main thing I want to bring out. I did not know that I didn't know the Lord. And then when someone come along and talk to you about another religion, first of all, you were already warned that you didn't want to be a Mormon or you didn't want to be a Latter-day Saints or anything like that. That was a no-no. Stay away from them. And people would come and talk to you about their religion, and I didn't enough about mine to be able to say anything about it. But I wasn't interested in it. I just, Mom went to the Baptist church, and that's where I went. It was Baptist church from the beginning of time to got here. That was Baptist church. That's the way we are. Now, each one of you has got some kind of little part in your, or a big part in your life about how you end up here. Jackie brought it up earlier this morning about the path that you take from when you were born in your home, and the Lord took you through all these trials and all these different places, and you moved, you went to college, you saw people, you dated girls, you did all these things, and all these things that brought us to right here. He was bringing his sheep where he wants them. We stayed in Cape Girardeau only because we loved it here. We loved the scenery. Everything we wanted was here. Didn't know nothing about the gospel. Had nothing to do with it. We liked it here. And because he put that like in our mind, we stayed here. And then one thing led another to come here. Now everybody's got their own story. Everybody come somehow and got here. And whatever you went through before, the Lord laid that out for you. That's his path. He made your path to here. And not a single thing could get in the way of it. Nothing. Because that's his work. And he's going to save you because you're one of his children. And so that's how it happened. You got here by the road that the Lord set out in front of you. And so I bring all that up to the fact that, let's look at these verses here. It says, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Now, says, "Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free." Took us down all these roads to bring us here, that he may have mercy upon us and grace us with his love and his message. He revealed this message to us. We didn't know it before, and you didn't see it in here. You read things, and I don't know how they preached around them, but they did. You didn't see it. But he's saying that all you've been through, and you brought it to here. Now you think about how many years you've been here in this church and you worshiped here. And you think about how he's kept you. How he's, all of us, all these years, how he's kept you. We've been through some pretty tough times after we come to know the Lord. But he makes that so we'll be stronger in him. We look to him and be stronger and know that all the things we went through, it was to teach us things. And even this very day, in this very day, with the war going on overseas and all the things going on about us and everything, we know that the Lord has done all that for our good. So we left our homes just like He left our brought us from our homes to here. From the time we grew up, all these things went together that we may be saved. And so all this stuff that's going on over there, He set up kings and He took down kings. He killed people and nations. He killed animals and everything. And you think how horrible that is. But everything works together for good for those who love Christ. Even that over there, He's in control. And what peace that gives you. If you didn't really truly believe that, if you believed in the God of your imagination, you'd have all kinds of things that you'd be worried about that. But we don't. We believe in our sovereign God, the one who is over all things. So He says, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. It says, stand fast in the truth of Christ. This is not found anywhere else. And many people come in and they listen to this and then they walk away. And really, while they're here, they're very happy and comfortable. Some of them not. You know, it's just like at community church. Some of them came in there, and I'm sure some believed part of the message, and other parts of it they didn't believe, but that's where they went. And so that's just what they did. But we have learned that we should stand fast in the truth about Christ. And He talks about it being a liberty. We have been made free in Christ. We don't fear our sin and others under the rules of the law. We sin day in and day out, moment to moment. But we don't fear our sins. We wish they weren't there. We'd like to be like Christ. We'd like to live like Christ. But we don't fear our sins because they've been taken care of by Christ. God does not see us as a sinner. They don't see our sins. And so, therefore, we don't fear our sins. We're not scared of them. We just work at, I guess it says to live a life opposing or looking to Christ to be free from sin. We desire to be like Him, and so therefore we attempt to do so. But we are free or made free because of Christ's work for us. And so therefore this liberty they're talking about here has been given to us, wherewith Christ hath made us free. He made us free. He took us from that world of religion out there and brought us to this world where Christ is preached in truth. You must know Him in truth, and you cannot have these feelings of safety without being in the truth. Because the God of the world is one of your imagination. And do you trust yourself? Do you trust your mind, your thoughts, your motives? Everything you do, so many things you get started and you don't finish. Some things you get mad at. Other things you shouldn't even been dabbling in. You should have left it alone. We're just that way. So therefore, it has to be the work of Christ because it's centered and He knows which way direction you're going and He knows your finish line. But He says here, He's talking to the Galatians. He's concerned about the Galatians because they're having some problems. There's some people there that are stirring trouble up. And He says, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. That's where we were before. The bondage of the law. A yoke is designed to put around your neck to pull. You work. You pull. A horse pulls a plow or a wagon with that pushing against that yoke. And that's what we do. When it comes to the gospel, the works, it's constantly working. You're just constantly. It's no rest. There's no rest in it. You're just constantly hoping that you're doing enough that God will have compassion on you on Judgment Day. It's designed to be around a constant labor that we have there. There's never, you know, the law is set up in such a way that the law points out sin. It doesn't save you. And so we are, when we're in religion, we're constantly working. But the devil, or the law is constantly showing you that it ain't enough. It's just never enough. You got to do more and more. So He says, don't get entangled back in that religious stuff that's out there. It's designed to constantly labor you, and it cannot get, you can't get this off. You can't get off that yoke. It has to always be going on. As long as you're alive, you're fighting that. It's always doubt. There are always going along with that. But it's never-ending work. Even into eternity, it's never-ending work. He says that you're entangled in the yoke of bondage, and there's no way of getting out outside of the grace of God. Their religion is interpreted by people who don't even know the Lord and preach it. It's interpreted. Interpreted is never right, because everybody has a different way of interpreting things. And so you never have the same God that everyone's worshiping like we have, the true God. You have all these others out here that creates these denominations. So this constantly fighting and going against that yoke. And this bondage, it restricts you. It restricts you from doing many things, and it's constantly causing you to feel guilty. I don't even know why we searched while we didn't know the Lord, and you think about it. We didn't know what we were doing. We didn't have no idea. But we would have been better off if we hadn't even searched religion, just left it alone. And the guilt would not have been so much. But he says here, stand fast. Stay here. Protect yourself. Be sure that just hang on to this in all ways. We do that here. We want this building to be here for a place to worship. We dig deeper in our pockets to keep that so. We're here. We want to preserve what we hear here. And we know if we come here, this is our safety. We have to hear of Christ. So he says, stand fast in the liberty that Christ gives us. And that liberty, like I said, I think before that we don't have that guilt of sin. It's been taken from us. And he says, don't go back. Don't get entangled again in that yoke of bondage. Don't walk away from this. And he said, Paul, the verse 2, behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ profit you nothing. See, circumcision is an outward ceremony depicting you, showing you that you are religious because of the law. You must do what we call works to obey the law. And so he says here, circumcision, which is a picture of, I guess it's a picture of salvation in the world. It has to be something that's shown. It's not in their heart. It shows that you're religious. It's a ceremony. And therefore, when the freedom of Christ, we don't do ceremonies. We don't have a ceremony for that. And you don't need an outward sign that you are a believer. We have it in our heart. We walk it in our life. We speak it in our messages. We witness to people, and that's how it's shown. But it's an outward show of your religion. It's another form of works. It's another form of doing something. And the thing of it is it's not salvation. Because that's not the way God saves. We know that now. He saves by His grace and by His love toward us and by the revelation of Him. The works of Christ may not be for you. If you're still under works, if you're under religion of works, Christ profits you nothing. You're not part of Him. All the work that He did for our salvation to be that perfect person that walked this earth and obeys the law and obeyed everything perfectly and was our blood sacrifice. That only applies to believers. That don't apply to you. You think that you can take care of yourself and your sins, and you can go before God on your own, and you can't do it. You can't do it. He will not look upon you because you're still full of sin. The blood has not washed it away. He says in verse 3, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to the whole law. Now, you must obey the whole law. And that's the thing of it, is it has to be obeyed perfectly, just like Christ did. We can't do it. We were born in sin. We're dead in sin. We cannot do anything to help ourselves. And so, therefore, the state that we're in is sin, and we will always be there outside of the grace of God. The Ten Commandments, they tell you that they show your sin. Ceremonies, they're not part of Christ. Ceremonies, church ceremonies, some wear robes, they go through routine things and all that sort of thing. It has nothing to do with Christ. That's religious acting. Church rule, that's another one that ties you down. You don't have your liberty when you have under church rule. But the thing of it is you must obey the whole law. So then what that brings down is you have to obey the whole law, and the thing of it is think about your motives. Think about what goes on in your mind when you do something for someone. You're generous to someone. You help someone on the side of the road. You go and feed or visit with an ill person or something like that, and you think you're doing a good thing. But when you want to help that person, was you wanting attention for doing it? Did you pleasantly go help him, or in your mind were you hating to go help him, but I think I must? Motive is just as a sin also. And so many times our motives would condemn us. But you have to obey the whole law to be accepted by God. And only Christ did this, and God would only accept the pure sacrifice. Only one sacrifice of a perfect man. And we didn't fit. But Christ did. He walked the earth perfectly. He became a man to do so. And the thing of it is about the ceremonies and all that that goes on, we don't know how they're supposed to be anymore. You see, there's no rules on how are you supposed to sacrifice an animal. They don't know. The rules, they knew the rules when they did it. How it's supposed to do, the routine of it, the whole bit. We don't know that. There's nowhere in the records to tell us how to do that. Anything like that, any kind of ceremony, there's no rules. So if we attempted to do it, we'd be in sin because we wouldn't be doing it correctly. But you see, no one has direction to perform these sacrifices of blood or any sacrifices. And we're responsible for all the statutes in this word. Not only the Ten Commandments and all that, but we're responsible for this whole thing, this whole the statements of God's law and who he is. So he says, Paul says, to you that if you be circumcised, Christ profits you nothing, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. He will never pay that debt. Never, ever pay that debt. That's why there's eternity in hell. That debt can never, ever be paid. And so this sins that we know that we're sinners. When we met Christ, when he revealed himself to us, he showed us perfection as far as sin goes. He's perfect. He showed us him. But then again, he showed us also, and we're so imperfect. And so therefore, we can see that there's not anything that we could possibly do to please him. We have to beg for his mercy. If we know him and we love him, it's only because he loved us first. In verse 4, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. So let's go back here a little bit and talk about that part here. It's like it's a form of apostasy is what he's teaching here. He's saying there's somebody in this church that is stirring things up. They're coming in and introducing works within your religion, which is nothing but gospel, the grace of God, the love of Christ. They're introducing things to be done, and they're sitting amongst us. They're amongst you here. And they look, they talk just like we do. They love it. So they do take part in everything. And they look like we are. We've had a few of them that have come and listened to this gospel. And I mean, you would have swore they were just straight up and down believers and everything. And it just, they accepted, they knew the Lord and everything was great. But he says here, Christ has become of no effect unto you, to whoever that type of person is. It's amongst your congregation. There was somebody stirring up things in the Galatia. He says, whoever you are, you are justified by the law. You are fallen from grace. These are the people that come in and then they go away. They look like us, they live like us, they're part of us. They come in, they declare they're believers, and then one day, they're gone. And usually they're stirring up things within the congregation. And God's children can be, how would you say, influenced. They can be influenced, but they will never be taken away. But during that time of worship, people that come in and doesn't know the gospel and never will know it, they can tear up the unity within a church. They can cause it, make it so that we're backbiting and fussing with one another and all that over just nonsense. It's in their heart. The evil's in their heart, and they do these things. They don't like this gospel, and so they can do that. And the thing of it is, grace churches are not immune from that at all. Matter of fact, churches have fallen apart because of just that very thing. It's just the way it is. So he says, work of Christ is not for you. He is speaking to apostates. They have fallen from grace, never knew Christ in the first place. And they have heard and confessed to believe, and then they've walked away. They really aren't believers. You know, it's kind of strange when I was out in this world before we come here. We didn't know the gospel. We didn't know the true meaning of these verses. We thought they were things to do and not to do. We didn't see Christ in the scriptures and all that sort of thing. And so we come to worship here. We started a long time ago in other church buildings, but when Christ started, when we started hearing the doctrines of Christ, it wasn't, we were interested. We didn't hate it. Now, some people did. But we didn't hate it. We thought, what is this? What is it? What's he talking about? And over a period of time, through the revelation of Christ, this became part of us. I mean, it was that we were one with Christ, and we believed it, and we loved it. But some people never, ever get to that point. They may hear, stay, they may hear it, they may think it's neat, and then they'll walk away, and most of the time, they cause trouble before they go. But in verse 5, he says, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. And so we don't desire any part of the law. The law is good, but we don't desire any part of the law, for we live unto Christ. And so we live with patience no matter what God brings our way and never walk away. True believers will stay until the very end. And that's a good indication that someone is a believer because they stay till it's time for Christ to take them home. They'll stay. So it's he'll keep us. He'll protect his own and because it is his work. And so therefore we will inherit the kingdom of heaven. For it says, through the Spirit, through the work, through Christ's Spirit, we wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. We don't give up. We just keep on going, and we wait. One day, our time on this earth will be enough. It'll be over. That day is numbered for each one of us. But we'll go home with Christ because we wait. We're through the Spirit, wait for hope. That hope is being with Christ. hope of righteousness, perfection. And we do that by faith, because we, by faith, know these words, know the gospel, and know Christ that's in this gospel. So through faith, we continue. It says verse 6, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which works love. So in Christ, grace is all important, and our works contribute to nothing. So therefore, what he's saying here, that if you're under circumcision, you believe works, which is works of circumcision, you know that, you believe that, then Christ's work does not for you, does nothing for you, is not for you. If you haven't begged for mercy and he's revealed himself unto you and saved you, you're destined for your day of destruction. You were designed for that purpose. Oh, what a doctrine that just eats at someone who doesn't know the Christ, to know that they may be made for the day of destruction. They may not have hope. But we don't know who they are, and they don't know who they are. And that's all we can do, is ask them to beg for mercy, to pray unto them, and hopefully the God will reveal himself to them if they're one of his sheep. And the thing of it is he said, but faith which worketh by love. It all has to do with love. Not cold works, but love. This persuasion cometh not of him that calls you. This turning away from the gospel, it doesn't come from Christ, the one who calls you. It's a part of the world. It's Satan tempting you. And if you're not a believer and you walk away, you have gone back with the world. This persuasion cometh not from him that calls you. This persuasion, this interest in the gospel of works, that was not brought to you by Christ. Verse 7, he said, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? One of the greatest fears we can have here, one of them, in God, we trust God, but he does sometimes bring people in that don't know the gospel, and they can turn things upside down. They can influence you. Not that they'll destroy this build, this congregation, not that they can take you away and cause you not to have your salvation, but they can make you miserable. They can destroy the unity within a church. We've had it a few times happen, but somehow or another, it was taken care of. But here, the Jews, in other words, brought in the false gospel, and that's what hindered them. Brought it in here and plant seeds and plant this. You know, I don't believe that deal where only certain ones can be saved. I don't believe that deal that I can't say, invite Christ in my heart. I don't believe that deal. And they just plant a little seed here and plant a little seed there and plant another one somewhere else. And it happens all the time in grace churches. Because you see, the devil's got the ones out there. Satan's got those churches. This is Christ's church. He would love to disrupt Christ's church. Verse 8, he says, nine, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I don't think I have to explain that. That means that you put a little leaven in bread and it will spread, grow, get bigger. And that's what he's talking about, false religion that may come between you, between us. And let's see here. Verse 9, he says, 10, I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever you be. He's talking that those that preach the false gospel will spend eternity with Satan. They're not called of God. They would only preach the true gospel if they were called of God. Only called preachers will preach the true gospel. The others don't know it. They don't know what else to tell you. They have the same imagination that you have of who God is. And no one really stands on their own. They have to have a God or something to hang on to. And so they just go to those churches and have no, they're blind to it. They have no idea that they don't know the gospel. He said, Paul says, I have confidence in you. I have confidence in you all out there, in you and me, through the Lord. Through the Lord, because he's the one that'll keep you, that ye will be none otherwise minded about Christ, about the gospel, about the truth. But he that troubleth you shall bear judgment, whosoever he be. See, Paul didn't know who it was that was stirring things up, but he knew that there was people having troubles there in Galatia. In verse 11, he says, and I, brethren, if I preach circumcision, why do I ever suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. Boy, what a scripture there. If I preached works, they would not persecute me, because men hate grace, and it makes them feel guilty and lost when they hear about grace. They feel, you mean you're telling me I don't know the Lord? You mean you're telling me I'm going to die and go to hell? You tell me that's what they do. That's what they think. It's an offense to them. It says, this verse here again, it said that, how come if I was preaching, Paul says, if he was preaching circumcision, works, if that's the case, if I'm not preaching the truth and I'm preaching works, how come they're persecuting me? Why are they bothering me? Why are they wanting to kill me? Why are they attacking me all the time? Because the world does not like God's free grace. They don't like it. And so therefore, that's why he's being attacked. And you go out here and you witness to people, and you're going to run up against a few walls. But he says, if that's the case, he said, you didn't learn it from me. If I preach works, I wouldn't suffer persecution. But he says, I do, and I am. So I'm not responsible for you wandering away from the gospel or having trouble with that in your church. I preach the truth. He says, the cross really is an offense to those who don't know the Lord. Verse 12, he said, I would they were even cut off which trouble you. I won't preach what that really means, but I will tell you that I hope that they are found out and God will deal with them, was a nice way to put it. He wants them, he hopes that they don't have to suffer. They don't have to put up this very long. Nobody wants this in a gospel church. They just don't want this going on. We come here to hear of Christ and go away with peace and hope and refreshed, and we don't need, after you hear a message, somebody tearing it down. We need this to rest in the gospel. So he says in verse 13, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. So look after one another in Christ. We love one another, look after one another. And he says, you've been called to liberty. You've been called to freedom. You've been freed. You're in Christ. You don't have to obey these laws and all perfectly, because you can rest. It's been done for you. You know you can't accomplish it. You can't do it. But it's been done for you. Rest. Be comfortable with where you are. You have liberty, but don't use it as you please. Don't do whatever you want to do. We do, believers desire to be like Christ. And we want to have that rest that's in the gospel. So, you know, you don't just go out here and live like the world because God's graced you. A believer wants to be like him. We desire to live like him. We fail all the time, but we desire to be like him. And also the peace that comes with it, like I said just a little while ago, is that even though we can't do it perfectly, and we feel bad about it, we can't do it perfectly, but we don't have to live in fear of our sin. It's taken care of our false, our shortcomings. We don't have to feel fear over that, There is no fear in it. We're born into liberty. We were set free. We've set free from obeying that works and church religion and all that stuff. We set free from that. And all these things that they do up there. I love Lent. I do. I love Lent. Fish sandwiches are cheap during Lent. They put a sale on them all the time. I love it. But I don't observe Lent. That's the works that they do. But I sure like that fish. But anyway, love and care for one another, both spiritually and physically. Verse 14, it says, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." All laws are fulfilled in love. Christ gives us this desire and love for one another, and it is just the way of a believer. Now, how does the law fulfilled completely? With love. Well, if you love your neighbor, you won't do things to him. You won't be mean to him. You'll be courteous and kind to him. All the Ten Commandments, for example, are obeyed with love. Christ has obeyed them, walked, but we, as believers, we've already obeyed that law in Christ, but we still, to take care of one another and love one another, we don't offend anybody. That's just the way it is. Verse 15 says, "But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another." And so that again talks about how that destroys unity. People who come here with the desire to see Christ in the messages and to worship Him, they come of one accord and one thought and one mind, desiring to see the one Christ that we know. But if you come and you bite and desire one another, first of all, you can't worship. You're always thinking the other person deserves their worth, and you do. It's all these things that destroys the unity. And you must have unity to truly worship. You just really do. Everyone sitting here, we need to get along. We need to have unity. Same mind about who Christ is. Same mind about how the church runs. Same mind about all these things. You must have that unity. And again, like I said, grace churches are not immune from this devouring one another and biting and devouring one another. All of them have troubles from time to time. And then in verse 16, it's the end of my message. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." Look to Christ. You will be rescued from the world and kept from the world. So walk in the Spirit. Walk and talk with Christ. Pray with Christ. Walk in the Spirit, knowing He's with you all the time, protecting you, caring for you. Walk in the Spirit, and you won't be filled with the lusts of the flesh, desiring all that the world has to give us, money, fame, cars, homes. All these things are things that in the world, and that's just barely touches the surface of what's out there that comes to us that we desire sometimes. But He says, walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Okay. Would you pray, Nathan?
Some of these passages and maybe recoil.